All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1138 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, August 18th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, tonight's show is going to cover a lot of great topics. I've got some things like Comcast going to 1 gigabit, ramifications of the NSA hack. Unlimited data plans are back, and a million up for grabs if you know how to run a robot on Mars. Those stories and more tonight here on Geek News Central. I want to welcome all of the longtime listeners and viewers to the show. Thank you so much for being here. Of course, all of you are the Ohana. Thanks for being part of the family. Of course, if you're a brand new listener to the show, I want to welcome you to the podcast. I want to encourage you to take time to get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all of our great content. Our team of writers over there is putting up great content on days that I am not podcasting. So we want you to get over and check the content out while you're there. Subscribe to the show. It's real easy to do so. Right on the right-hand column of the website, you can subscribe via iTunes, an Android app. There's about 13 of them that are supported by email. If you want to go old school and just get an email directly to your inbox saying, hey, the new edition's up. Or on Google Play, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, via RSS feed. Really, lots of ways to subscribe to the show. That way, you'll get the show on the go, no matter where you're at. And you won't miss a single episode. If you have no idea what I'm talking about on getting subscribed to the show, click that more subscription options. That'll help you out. Once you get assimilated to the Ohana here, we want you to be part of the newsletter as well. The newsletter is a one-way email that I send out after every show that contains all the links to everything I cover tonight. So you won't get badgered for to buy stuff or anything like that. It's strictly just an announcement, and it mirrors what exactly is on the website at geeknewscentral.com. So definitely take the time to get over there and get subscribed to the podcast. That's the real critical thing. And, of course, this show is really available almost every place. And you can listen on the Roku. You can by watching the Tech Podcast channel. You can use your Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher or watch or listen on blueberry.com. Of course, if you've got comments about today's show, you can email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. There's lots of ways to stay connected, and we've had some folks started to add to our Slack channel. So if you're not yet part of our Slack Ohana, where in Slack is a very cool, basically it's a messaging app where it's basically a party line and you all can hang out and chit chat. We had some stuff come in for the show yesterday for Slack. I'll be talking about that a little bit later. So it's a great way to provide feedback and link to stuff that the rest of the Ohana can get early dibs on. So if you want to be part of our Slack group, definitely email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, and say, I want to be on Slack, and I'll add you. I'll send you an invite via the email that you email me from and get you logged in and over there. Of course, you can follow on Google Plus or on Facebook. I'm over there as well. And, of course, I don't want to forget our partner shows, and that's really a big part of the Ohana here, a big part of our family. Of course, I've got Rob Greenlee and I do the new media show every Saturday that talks strictly about podcasting in the new media space. We've got the Geek News Central team that basically takes care of the Pro Gear Guru site. We've got the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, always coming up with cool gadgets. And matter of fact, I got something to say about the one of these cases that he's got something called the Nutrient Airbender that he reviewed. I ought to talk a little bit about the experience I've had with a recent tablet keyboard. Maybe I'll save that for a rant night. But we also got Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis. I actually emailed Jamie because he hasn't put an episode up in a couple of months. And Jamie's been working on additional projects, but he's about ready to basically restart the show within the next several weeks. So there'll be new episodes of Health Tech Weekly coming up. Of course, we got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. So definitely go over there and check those shows out. And we want to thank our partner shows for being part of the Ohana here. Of course, this show is sponsored largely by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy's been a sponsor here since July of 2005, and I am forever grateful for their ongoing support here. I'm forever grateful for all of you that have supported supported them by buying domains and buying hosting accounts and servers and SSL certificates, and you just about name it, you all have picked up products and services over there far and wide for a long time. And we continue to have a great support of the sponsor over there. And I truly am grateful for that. And, you know, here's the real skinny. This is where the brass meets the road, if that's even a thing to say. This is just, they got to make it easy for you. You know, you can go over there and get a managed WordPress site for a buck a month for the first 12 months. And then, you know, if you want to get a little bit more creative, you can use the economy hosting. And they give you a whole bunch of different packages that you can install. You know, that makes it even easier to get a variety of services set up and running on a website. And then they've got the website builder for business owners. Folks are looking to make a point of presence online and maybe revamp a website or start off brand new. You know, you don't have to have a lot of headache involved in getting your business set up. They've got a template there just about for every type of business, and it's a great service. So definitely check out the website builder product. And of course, 99cent.com's for one time only, new or transfer, and then 30% off on new product purchases when you're not picking up hosting accounts, when you're strictly looking for something, one of their other many multitudes of products they have over there. So definitely save 30% on new product purchases as well. And really, all those codes are available on my website at geekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy. And those codes are good to go. And we're going to be exchanging one out. But other than that, it's the website builder one is being exchanged out. Other than that, get over there and save some money. And I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here and our ongoing support. And thank again all of you for your support of our longtime sponsor here. And I do want to say too, you know, put a shout out to the insiders. You know, thank you guys too for your ongoing contributions. Those are starting to increase. So I'm hoping that's an indication that I'm doing well by you, value for value. You know, get a little bit out of the show, you kick it back to me in a small contribution, whether it be $2, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month. The way I look at it is for 67 cents a day, you can come in and really make a difference in this show. And I know many of you don't have that type of money to spend and support. That's fine. But come in one of our lower levels and support the show. And you can do that at geekinthecentral.com/insider. All right. So let me just got a few things for you tonight. Had a couple of, you know what I did around here? You all get to see, like, and those of you that are watching, you get to see from this camera angle to over here, you know, and behind me. And unless I bring up the side camera, which I very rarely do, because, you know, I don't want, you know, all you guys see is my big fat gut and and no hair on top. But, you know, still you don't see the complete office view, right? You get a little corner shot of what's going on in here. This office has been trashed. I mean, it was bad to the point was like my wife was like, where's that bill I gave you? Did you pay it? And I was like, I'm kind of thinking to myself and I'm going to a mild panic because it's like, did I pay it? Because I know it's coming up due and I had, but it wasn't in the right pile. Once I pay for stuff, it goes into a different, you know, it goes into a box where all our statements are for the year. And so anyway, but she just, you know, she gave me that cross-eyed look like, you better have an answer for me. So I took about 45 minutes tonight before the show and cleaned up the office and got rid of some garbage and some, what it is every day, and I've got a bunch of, you can't see it, but behind me, I have a stack of stuff that is reviews, batteries, gadgets, you name it. And some of it comes unsolicited. So it's oftentimes I'm like, what do I do with some of this stuff, you know? And we've talked about it before, maybe building up like a bundle box to, you know, as a big giveaway prize. And I've got enough stuff here to make a big bundle box. So I'm going to go through all that stuff tomorrow. We'll have a bundle box put together. And then Monday on the show, I'll have some sort of a prize and we'll give away a bundle box. And it'll just be, you name it, cell phone cases, just a lot of stuff. And then we'll just have a cool contest and let someone get it and I'll ship it out. It has to be to the continental United States, all right? So, or someone in the United States. I can't, for as what I'm going to ship, it'll, you know, I want to be able to, you know, send this thing out to slow boat. It may take you 3 weeks to get it, but that's how it's going to roll. Cheapest shipping possible out of Hawaii. And that means like surface. So that means slow. You'll see it next month. But we'll do something on the next show. We'll give away a bundle of stuff. And we're going to have a couple of promotions here in the upcoming weeks. So definitely stay tuned in. Okay. What else? I already talked about travel upcoming. Be in all next week for both shows. And then probably the following, probably I'll be out. Probably going to try to get someone, a guest host, to come in and do two shows for me while I'm out. That will be the, that's the plan. Meetings and proposals, this has been the week of that. And plus, I've been testing the Mevo. And if any of you are on Facebook today, if you're on Facebook right now, there's videos down below. I did a drive. I did a thing with my son where we kind of talked after I picked him up from school. Not necessarily Mevo's designed to be in vehicles, but the camera is just kind of perfect for it. So, and after I got home, my son was asking me, can I use this for that or use it for this? I'm like, yep, that's what it's here for. So the Mevo's pretty cool, and they're going to be, you're seeing more little Facebook stuff from us using the Mevo in different locations because we just need a tripod and you stick it up and we're going to get the wiring figured out how we can both be on high quality audio and everything. So it should be a lot of fun. But anyway, did that this afternoon. It's been in the box. I've had it here for a week and just hadn't opened it up. Finally got it up and run it up and read the simple instructions and went to town on it. One thing I am looking to do, too, is things have been successful here over the last 2 or 3 months. And that means it's time to up the game just a little bit. So I'm looking to bring on a couple of writers. It's time to kind of reinvest in the site. I got a great team of writers as it is, but I want to bring in a couple more. So if you're interested in writing for Geek News Central, or the Pro Gear site, let me know. I've also got some work that I'm going to be, a new show that I'm watching called Podcast Legends, and it's interviewing luminaries and people that were in the very early days of podcasting. I did my first interview last weekend. I'll do my next one this Saturday, and then I'll probably launch the show. So maybe looking for some help on that. So someone that might be wanting to assist and help me in booking and that kind of stuff. If you're interested, let me know on that. All right, that's it. That's it for my stack of stuff. I want to thank you all for being here. Is for those of you that are new, this is what we do here. So we kind of chit-chat for the first 10 or 15 minutes. So when you send me an email, I want to know who you are. Drop me a line. Let me know. Tell me your name. Tell me where you're from. You know, tell me a little about your family if you so desire. You know, want to know the Ohana here. This is what this is all about. And again, thank you all for the support. You know, and it, having done this show for so many years, there are good shows. There are weird shows. Every show turns out just a little bit different. The last one, I'm still like, I guess it was okay, but you know, when you're self-critical, you know, I have a tendency, I got done with that one the other night and I was like, well, that sucked, especially the beginning of the show. So trying to remedy that. And even after all this many years, it shouldn't be like goof ups at the beginning of the show, but that seems where I get out of battle rhythm so many times. But anyway, let's move on here and get into the content. I got a good stack here for you. And, oh, one last thing. You guys notice I did a little something different at the beginning of the intro. There's a reason for that. And I'm getting in practice to do a little different intro, largely because some things are going to change in the intro in the upcoming weeks. Can't get into too many details on why, but once you guys see what's coming, you'll understand, to the point where there may not even be intro music at the beginning of the show. There might not be the intro piece. So working on that, and we'll see how it goes. But there's a reason for it, and it's, I'll just tell you, it's all about building the show audience. And there's some logic behind it that I don't want to go into, but once you say, you're like, oh, that's why he changed. So, yes, top secret stuff for all of you out there. All right, let's move on. Comcast has announced trial gigabit internet in Chicago using DOCSIS 3.1. So this trial is, for the first time ever, to my knowledge, delivering 1 gigabit per second to customers via a normal cable modem versus DOCSIS 3.1. And, you know, in December 2015, Comcast had already installed the first DOCSIS 3.1 modem in Philly, and a few months later unveiled plans to offer the service in Atlanta and Nashville in the first half of the year, with Chicago, Detroit, and Miami to follow in the second. So this is something huge. Now, even more huge and even more exciting, and I was, you know, we do our fair share of bashing on Comcast here, but their monthly price for this new service with no contract is $139.95. Now, many of you are like, I would never pay $139.95 for a 1 gigabit internet, but let's be frank. If you've got a family at home and you've cut the cable, cut the cord, you can start sucking up a lot of bandwidth with everyone watching Netflix or Hulu or whatever it may be. I think my family is home. My daughter came home tonight. They're going hiking tomorrow. I have meetings with ABC and a couple of other folks, so I will not be going hiking, but I hear their voices talking in the background. I'd hope to get the show started early tonight, but I just didn't work out. Had to clean. But anyway, exciting stuff with Comcast. We will keep an eye on that. Time and then what do we have? We got, what is it, Cox or whatever the new group's called that's cutting 300 megabit plans. Or, you know, they don't want those being offered. So one goes one way, the other goes another. All right, let's talk just a little bit about the news around this this NSA, this alleged stolen NSA cyber software. And for those of you outside the United States, I know you may take offense to this, but each of your country, you know, no matter where you live, your countries spend a certain amount of money on defense and spend a certain of money on cybersecurity. You know, that is hard earned cash from the taxpayers. Now, you may not agree with how it's used, how your taxpayer dollars are used, but it's just a simple fact that it's a budget line that goes to those groups, and they do what they do. So if this is true, and that the NSA has lost some of their tools or had some of their tools pilfered, that's just devastating. It's devastating from a simple fact that, number one, your taxpayer dollars were used to build those tools. Number two, it could put those tools in the hands of adversaries that were going to turn around and use them against you. You know, it's that loose lips sink ships moniker that, you know, was famous in World War II. You know, compromised software causes compromised computers, and it could be your own. And this is pretty scary stuff. And it makes you wonder, especially when companies like Cisco and Fortinet came out and they said that some of the code published by this group did affect legacy software, legacy versions of firewalls, and that some of the vulnerabilities still existed in some of their hardware, and that some of these things were zero-day vulnerabilities. The companies did not know that this was a, you know, vulnerability, or at least they did not admit that they knew that these vulnerabilities existed, and they said that their software is suspect. If the right configurators are present, Cisco said, the vulnerability could allow the attacker to execute arbitrary code and obtain full control of the system, or to cause a reload of the affected system. Cisco representative Yvonne Malgren told ABC News that the company is directing its customers to workarounds to mitigate that particular vulnerability, and that a fix is coming in the near future. Now, this code allegedly is a few years old. And if you think about this in a pretty deep way, you just want to slap yourself in the forehead, right? And, you know, I bleed red, white, and blue, folks. And it appalls me that this material has gotten out, number one. Number two, I worry about, you know, is this software going to be used against us? How many lives are going to be lost because of this software being compromised? You know, what these groups do, they don't do lightly. And it's to me, it's a travesty. It really, really is. And I can't imagine the individuals that the security officials that work in those groups and the folks that are in charge of security, they must have lost their flipping mind. They really must have. And, you know, when something like that happens, it's a morale buster. You know, it's like, you know, stab you. It's like you lost a child or something. You know, when people's work is compromised, and it's devastating, or something like that happens. So, you know, it's I know many, many years ago, and it was like this would have been 80. Let's see, what year would have been that? 83, 84. I was overseas, stationed in a P3 squadron. We had P3s and A3s. And it was early January, late January. And I was woken up by the duty guy. I was on the duty crew that day, and he said, "Hey, get your flight suit on, get dressed, go to the, you know, get to the hangar." And didn't explain why, and I got the hangar, and they were in a rush to get to one of the airplanes ready to launch, and I'm like, what's going on? And the situation was we'd had an airplane apparently go down full of men that I knew, and you know, your heart sinks because, you know, it's never good. So, you know, when something like that happens and you lose something close to your, you know, something that you've taken pride in your job, you know, it's just yes, we had to attend funerals and memorials, but it goes much deeper than that. You know, the airplane's one thing, that's just hardware, but it's just it's a whole process. And I bet you that there's some grief over within those groups of this type of material being. And it's getting people to think that's kind of weird for you to say that, Todd, but it's true. When you have something close to home like that, the devastation in the thought process can almost be like losing a loved one or something. It's very devastating. So I don't know. Maybe you agree with me. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But that's been my experience. And some things have happened throughout my life, and you know, things that happen at work or a variety of different places. Okay, on to more happy notes. On to more happy notes. Unlimited data plans are back with some catches. But this is pretty exciting stuff. It really, really is. Sprint and T-Mobile both announced the return of what had been once a mainstay of the mobile industry, unlimited data plans. So, you know, we can all, you know, if you're on T-Mobile or if you're on Sprint, you can change your plans today to T-Mobile One and Sprint Unlimited Freedom. Now, here's the breakdown, okay? There are some catches, but I think these are pretty reasonable catches. And as a matter of fact, I was cleaning up today and I was pulling, you know, Raw Voice pays for my iPhone, and then my wife and son and daughter, the two older ones, are all on their own plan. So I'm, you know, and I just pay the bill. It's actually an auto pay, but I opened up the statement tonight and I looked at it as like, doggone, you know. And I'm thinking, I was doing the math after seeing what I saw today being announced. And I'll be honest with you, I watched a 7-minute video on Facebook by T-Mobile, and I never do that. Here's what it is. If this is best for families, so your first phone's going to cost you $70 a month. That's data, talk, and text, unlimited. Now your second line is going to be, I think $40 or $50. Ultimately, or maybe it's 40 on 10. In the end, for a family of four, it's going to be about $160 a month. And the way the lines price out after the first two. So a family of four, it's about $160, unlimited data, talk, and text. Now the video that you get, will be, 480p. But if you're on your mobile, 480p might not be bad. But if you really have to have high def, you can pay an extra $25 per month per line to get high def. Now, okay, I don't watch that many videos on my small mobile, but maybe on the iPad. And if it's unlimited, truly unlimited. Now, here's the kind of the kicker. You want to tether? You can tether. If that's at like slow speeds. So if you want to get tethered that uses the regular 5G and LTE speeds, you have to pay an additional $15 per line to tether. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, my mom is on Verizon, and you know, and my sister has a couple of unlimited lines. So my mom could switch to T-Mobile, and she would get just on her own, she could get unlimited data for, and be able to do HD for about $100 a month. And if the connection is good to where she lives, That's not a bad price to get, you know, 5G LTE unlimited data. And it all, you know, that's on a single line. Now, are they going to start throttling you? That we don't know. It says, oh, if you want to stream high def, or if you use more than 26 gigs of data per month, you'll get throttled. Using 26 gigs is pretty hard. I think it's possible, I guess. But, 20, is it 26, per 26 gigs per line? So anyway, you have to read the fine print on these things. But a 26 gig plan with Verizon would be like $500 a month or something. And and you get a lot of video for free. A lot of the streaming stuff you get on T-Mobile, you don't have to pay for, plus they're free Tuesdays. And, you know, T-Mobile's plan isn't as attractive when you get it down into the details. But for some folks, this is going to make a lot of sense. If you're data gulping or you're in an area where you have limited connectivity, this might be a bargain. Now, Sprint's Unlimited Freedom undercuts T-Mobile's one price starting at $60 a month for one line of unlimited talk, voice, and text. It has its own set of limitations, though, like T-Mobile One. It doesn't allow high-def video. It caps music at 500 kilobits per second and games at 2 megs per second. The new plan gives you 5 gigs of high-speed tethering with 2 gig after that, and otherwise doesn't throttle high-volume users. So they're saying they don't throttle. So you get 5 gigs of high-speed tethering, 500 kilobits max for music, that's fine. So if you're not tethering on Sprint, you're just using your phone normal, they're not going to throttle you. So anyway, that's what's going on. And price it out, look at all the details, because you know the devil's in the details on all these things. But let's start the ball rolling. Let's move things to the right again, so that we can get to the stage where we're not having to worry about data on our mobile devices. You know, that's the end goal for all of us. Not Verizon or AT&T, though. They'd rather soak us for every dollar they can. All right, NASA dangles $1 million for a virtual Mars robot. So in the not-too-distant future, a robot's going to be going to Mars. And this is the scenario. The robot's going to arrive along with supplies ahead of human mission. Overnight, a dust storm damaged the habitat and solar array and caused the primary communication antenna to become misaligned. The robot must now repair an air leak in the habitat, deploy a new solar panel, and align the communications antenna. So if you can build a robot that will follow that scenario and do a set of very explicit tasks as laid out by NASA's rules and do it in a timely manner, your pockets could be filled with $1 million. To enter, your team must, in order to enter, your team will need to comprise of at least 51% citizens or permanent residents of the United States, an entity that is incorporated and maintains a primary place of business in the United States as well. So link will be up in the show notes. If you're into robotics and up to the challenge, a cool million plus bragging rights of your robot going to Mars. Hey, Adblock, the battle between them and Facebook continues. And they basically are saying, hey, we're going to continue to work at it. We may not be able to block their ads all the time, but it's going to be a, you know, ping pong type of thing. So they're continuing to work at it, but Adblock is, and they're not necessarily admitting defeat, but they're saying we're going to have to be patient. It's a little bit of a cat and mouse game that is underway. All right, we talked about the purchase of Gawker Media by Univision. Their $135 million bid announced on Monday of this week. So after nearly 14 years of operation, Gawker.com will be shutting down next week. Wow. Nick Denton, the company's outgoing CEO, informed current staffers of the site's fate on Thursday afternoon, just hours before bankruptcy court in Manhattan will decide whether to approve Univision's bid for Gawker Media's other assets. Staffers will be assigned to other editorial roles, either at one of the six sites or elsewhere. So the gossip site is gone. And Peter Thiel, in his support of Hulk Hogan, and the lawsuit, the $140 million judgment against Gawker, is either stifled journalism or taught journalists a very strong lesson that they can be punished for going too far and specifically releasing materials that they didn't have permission to do so. And, you know, that one story cost them the company. So, Gawker is gone. Bada boom, bada bing, bada boom. All right. Hey, any Harley fans, you're going to love this. Wait till I show you this. And you know, Marvel, the Marvel property. Yes. Marvel Comics and the Marvel movie. Yes. They must be rolling in like an insane amount of cash, because Marvel and Harley Davidson made a bunch. By bunch, I mean 25 superhero motorcycles, all custom. And this is just insane. So these are the actual bikes. If you're watching, these are not mock-ups. These are the real deal. And they may be a little bit of CGI going here, but they built 25 different motorcycles for the characters. And these are going to be all on display at Marvel. But 25 Harleys, all design, have their independent design, a variety of different bikes. So pretty cool stuff. Pretty, pretty cool stuff. 20, how much did that set them back? Think about that. Quarter million, half million? Maybe a cool million, 20, see, or 25. Yeah, probably more than that. Probably $1 million, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a bike. Well, even customization. Whew. That's some bank. But good on them. A little bit of science news. And if you live in Scotland, ancient stone circles in Scotland were constructed in line with the sun and moon's movement some 5,000 years ago. Researchers have used 2D and 3D technology to test the alignment patterns in the circles of Calnish, C-A-L-L-A-N-I-S-H, on the Isle of Lewis, and Stennis in Orkney. These stones date back to about 3,000 BC, about 500 years before Stonehenge's famous stone monument was constructed in England. The team has also looked at a much simpler monuments in Scotland dating to about 1,000 BC. And they said that these were designed to track celestial bodies. And so, Scotland, be proud. You had folks looking at the stars 5,000 years ago. Pretty impressive, isn't it? Hey, tonight, United Launch put up a satellite. They launched AFSPC-6. Matter of fact, it launched like 10 minutes before we started the show tonight. So the United States Air Force reportedly launched two satellites, and they're putting them into geosynchronous situational awareness, geosynchronous orbit, excuse me. But it looked like everything was going, you know, on schedule when I had to cut away to start the show. But lots of cool space launches lately. Motorola is hinting that Samsung stole its always-on display feature. The S7 has, many Samsung phones I've been testing recently. It's when you basically have them turned off, you can still see stuff on the screen. It's really, really cool. And so the S7, S7 Edge, the S7 Active, Note 7, but Motorola isn't too thrilled about Samsung's new feature. Motorola seemed to accuse Samsung of stealing the always-on feature, according to Motorola. In what galaxy, and this is what they said, in what galaxy is it okay to steal competitors' phones' cool features? The original always-on display, Moto Zoid, we guess the word galaxy is a pretty obvious reference to the Galaxy series of smartphones. So, do they have a patent on that? If they did, great. Go sue them. If you don't, tough cookies. fingerprint scanner was introduced on Motorola, and it was Apple that came along with Touch ID. So, you know, you're all stealing from each other. Everyone does that. If you don't have a patent, go cry in your own milk. It just makes me laugh sometimes. For the very first time ever, and those of you that live near the coast in Vermont, and I don't know how many people we have listening to the show from Vermont. I used to look at the state's data very, very closely. But GE is building, and this is what's sad. GE's building America's first offshore wind farm. Well, that's cool, but all of the parts are coming from overseas. We didn't build any of this stuff in the United States. This all came from overseas. We don't have the technology to build our own windmills, which is just blows me away. But the installation of Block Island Wind Farm off the coast of, it's Rhode Island, excuse me. And this is pretty impressive if you look at the construction and how big these are. The potential for offshore energy in the U.S. is massive. If we build in all available ocean space, the wind above coastal waters could provide more than 4,000 gigawatts a year. That's more than four times the nation's current annual electricity production, but this is the first six. And each windmill is capable of generating 6 megawatts of power. And again, this is by a GE subsidiary outside the United States that put this together. Each windmill is capable of powering 5,000 homes, which is pretty amazing. But they do use some pretty amazing science to be able to even ship these things. They're just huge. The blades come from, there's an image that I'm showing on the screen right now that came from a Danish highway, they had to build special roads to get them to the seaport. That's how far they went. And then, much of the nacelles were made in France and again, shipped to the United States, but, it's just, sad that, we were on, how come we can't build this here? But anyway, the turbines will set on these yellow bases that is displayed, and they'll be up and operational and producing power by January. So pretty quick, but, providing power to a variety of places on the coast. So let's put more of these up. I think this is smart. I don't know how much if they're, the key though is, will they pay for themselves? Will the salt water destroy them? The salt air too. All right, here's a topic I want y'all to think about just a little bit. Is your browser leaking your online secrets? Is your browser giving you away? We know that the browser knows a lot about you. It doesn't matter if you're using a mobile browser, tablet browser, desktop browser. Most of the browsers these days, you notice I keep saying no, but when I open up Chrome or Safari in my iPhone, it always asks me to turn on location data. Why does my browser need my location data? I understand some apps do, but the browser can kiss my butt. I'm not giving them location data. Most browsers have built-in geolocation API that websites and other services will use to determine which version of a site to serve you. Your browser will often provide information about the hardware and software you have installed on your computer. Some white and services request your connection information. Browsers will know your social media, will know that if you're logged in to Google, to Facebook, to Reddit, to Twitter, Google Plus, and so forth. If you're on a mobile device and using a browser, it's reporting that information back via the gyro, whether you're on the move. There's a lot of stuff your browser knows about you. And oftentimes we install plugins or add-ons that maybe we don't completely know who the originator is. So I would like you to make sure that you take a look at your plugins and add-ons that you have added to your browser in recent weeks or months or years. If you haven't cleaned that out in a while, it might be a good time to do so. Because this is where often the trouble starts. Now, we know that Google, Microsoft, you know, they're getting all this data on us, right? But these add-ons can cause problems. There was a plugin that was designed, or actually CitizenLab found that the web browser provided by Chinese web giant Baidu was leaking monumental amounts of information, was calling home to mama, essentially, and was transferring lots of personal information back. I don't think any of us here, at least in the United States, are using that particular browser. But, you know, singling out Baidu isn't completely fair as well, because, you know, Google's Chrome browser has the incognito mode, and it's designed to use a separate browsing session to isolate and then delete session information on termination. We know that it accidentally exposed pornographic material by storing images in a physical memory cache. The incident question saw adult image displayed at the Diablo 3 loading screen, and the user in question found that information not erased from physical memory. So, you know, the incognito mode wasn't even perfect. You know, Internet Explorer is no stranger to data links. On numerous occasions over the years, Microsoft has developed a developed browser exposed to varying degrees. In 2014, the IE users, especially those using XPs, were exposed to a memory leak. In 2012, IE was subject to a mouse tracking issue. It just goes on and on and on. And 9 of 10 sites leak user data to parties of which the user is likely unaware. So we just launched a new, I'm working with B&H. And I'm one of their beta testers for a new type of banner on my website. And I had a discussion with the B&H guy about this banner. And because we have a lot of people that visit my website that are looking at audio gear, specifically the Pro Gear site, you know, my goal is obviously we can monetize a little bit on the banners when people aren't ad blocking them. And it basically is a banner that will give a suggestion. Kind of like Amazon. You'll see, you search for something on Amazon, and 3 days later, you'll be looking for info, and you'll notice that that you're being targeted. So, you know, I did have a little concern about this. I talked to the vendor about it. I determined how they were implementing it, who their partners were, their privacy. You know, I did my diligence to see how this was going to, what information was being passed. And I felt pretty good that they were being good stewards and just trying to make some good options for listeners or for viewers or for readers. And we ran it. So it's just a beta. We're trying it. We're going to see how it works. But in the most part, I've run static banners on Geek News Central. I ran my own ad server. I'm sure I know how many of you click out on banner links, but I don't do anything with that data. That data sits right on the, the ad server that I have. I don't even, you know, it's got these deep analytics things I don't even have time to go look at. But it's the first time really we've run an external banner like this that does any of this. So, you know, so websites are leaky too. So what do you guys think about this? Do you think we're sharing too much information? Do you think your browser's giving data up? Love to hear your feedback, geeknews@gmail.com on your commentary, okay? We knew this is coming, and it'll be a sad day, and I don't know what the future will hold, but on October 1st, the U.S. government's National Telecommunication Information Administration will hand over control of the Internet domain name system to the Internet Corporation to force sign names and numbers. ICANN, a conglomerate of supposed nonprofit organizations. While the change will be invisible to billions of internet users out there, starting in October, the U.S. government no longer control what some call the internet's phone book. The domain system works by associating web URLs with a site IP address, and it's crucial to the way the modern web works. Since 1998, the NTIA and ICANN have had a zero-cost contract in place that gives U.S. government the authority over the system, although the government's role was largely symbolic. So the Obama administration has agreed not to renew the contract, which expires on September 30th. And ICANN will be in control of everything. You looking for a new Wi-Fi box? Want one that looks kind of cool? Well, there's some companies that are making some ones that don't look like, have, you know, antennas stuck everywhere. And there's a good write-up by a gentleman over at BGR named Zach Epstein. And he's using one called, he's using one that's the Amplify, AmpliFiHD, and a pretty good write-up. He doesn't put the price down. Oh, yeah, it's $199. And there's a, basically, it's designed for people that have dead spots in their house. You set the base up, and then you, it comes with a couple of external antennas, too, that you can use to expand. It's a, kind of an all-in-one type deal. So I'll have the link up in the show notes on his review. You can check that out. Of course, I'm still on the hunt for a video card. None of you, I guess none of you are gamers out there that listen to this show, which surprises me. But the GeoForce GTX 1060, they're coming out with a cheaper model. It's a pretty popular chipset by NVIDIA. And by the way, I need to buy NVIDIA cards specifically if anyone comes back with suggestions. But the GeoForce GTX 1060, they've got a dumbed down version with it has 3 gigs of memory versus 6. It has slightly less CUDA cores, CUDA CUDA cores, and it's designed to compete with the GeoForce GTX. It's scheduled to compete with the Radeon RX 480. This is the first time that NVIDIA has basically dumbed down a video card. So I guess the thing's pretty popular on the full version. So maybe I'll go look at this one as an option. But $250 on that one. Hey, Uber has acquired autonomous truck startup Otto, co-founder to lead self-driving efforts. Uber obviously wants to be the self-driving leader. And this looks like more of an aqua hire and also intelligence hire. So the company's co-founder is a former Googler who has been working on autonomous driving for years, and he'll head up Uber's entire self-driving division. Both Otto's self-driving traffic efforts and Uber's own fast-growing automotive division will report to CEO Travis Kalanick. So I know we've had many emails from truck drivers to this show saying that this is not going to happen. I'm telling you, this is going to happen, and a lot sooner than I think most folks realize. You know, you truck drivers, you're not out of, you know, you're not out of a job yet, but give these folks 10 years, 5 to 10 years, and, you know, you look where we've come in 10 years. Let's think about the This is 2016, right? So the iPhone, you know, we haven't had the iPhone 10 years. And yet, we've already got almost to the point where you have self-driving cars. And 10 more years, 5 more years, I am telling you, change is coming. If I was a truck driver in my prime, I would start looking at going to work for this group, because they're going to need truck drivers, and for a long time. I think I would have my application in over at Uber and their truck division now to be on the leading edge of this thing. And there's only going to be so many spots, and those should be pretty good paying spots. So might be something to consider. You know, it's... And I'm not saying this happened overnight. Don't get me wrong. But it's going to happen. Hey, Tesla's autopilot has taken on one of America's most treacherous roads. So the snake in a windy stretch of California's notorious Mulan Highway, it was basically driven by the Tesla on autopilot. And I will let you watch the video to see how the results were. It's a little bit eye-raising, but it also gives you some thought on where this is all going. A little bit of news out of Apple. They tried and failed to add a cellular connectivity to the next Apple Watch, so they're going to wait. Apple will not be adding cellular connectivity to the Apple Watch this year, according to a report by Bloomberg. The company had planned incorporating the technology, but battery issues. And my phone, my iWatch already dies. Just using it normal. I get through about 10 hours and thing is like flatlined. So, going to add a cellular connection? Good luck. Interesting article. And how many of you, maybe I shouldn't ask you this question. Maybe I'll just tell you. There's some software. It's called WebWatcher. And typically, WebWatcher has been used to put on kids' computers or phones, and it's basically to make sure kids are behaving when they're online. Staying away from porn, that kind of stuff, right? Well, WebWatcher, and there's been software throughout the years that husbands and wives have stuck on each other's computers to see what their significant other was doing. Reporting screenshots, keystrokes, trying to catch husbands and or catch spouses in infidelity. Well, there was a couple who had a little bit of marital issues, and the husband was talking with a lady in another location, and the missus wasn't very happy about it, and basically divorced her husband from the activity that the gentleman was doing. Well, a court has allowed the spouse, the husband, the one that was spied upon, to sue WebWatcher. And this is new. He says invasion of privacy, a whole bunch of variety of things that I was wiretapped and didn't my permission to it. So it's not necessarily his ex-wife that's in trouble, but he has already gotten some money out of one group. So I guess if you are busted doing things you shouldn't be doing with and your wife leaves you for it or your husband leaves you for it, so let's equal opportunity cheating going on, and you've been spied upon by one of these software packages, there is now precedence where if you you get stuck with a big divorce bill, you might be able to recover some cash by going after the group that sold the software. So, doesn't say how much, but it's an interesting move. And there is an ongoing legal battle. One group has already settled, and the other group has been given the go-ahead for the lawsuit. So, makes you go, doesn't it? Okay, a couple of, let's see here. Oh, there's a great article on Yahoo. Every single photo, if you're really excited about the iPhone 7, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not happy with the iPhone 7 losing the headphone jack, because this is what's going to happen. Is a proof of it today. I was using my iPhone to stream for about 35 minutes. And man, that battery just went, it just sucked the life out of it and took it down about 35%. So I'm thinking, okay, there's a remedy for this. You put it on a battery pack. You keep charging the phone. It'll keep up. You'll be fine, right? And but with this new device, this new iPhone 7, unless we're going to be able to plug in with headphones or use a microphone while at the same time charging the device. There has to be the ability to do both at the same, and maybe aftermarket people will come up with cases that do the transition for us. Maybe we'll be able to charge the cases and have a standard headphone jack with aftermarket stuff. But I'm really not looking forward to Apple pulling the plug, literally, on the headphone jack. But it really looks like it's the way they're going to go here. But these images show a whole bunch of different mock-ups. And if you're curious, I'll have the link up in the show notes. Twitter has made a big announcement today. They said that the social network is, in the last 6 months, it has suspended 235,000 accounts for violating its policies related to the promotion of terrorism. In February, Twitter reported that it had suspended 125,000 accounts since mid-2015. So that brings their total up, what, to 360. Now, let's see here, if I do this low-level math here, about 360,000 accounts. That's a lot. Twitter's also reported that daily suspensions are up more than 80% since last year. Wow. Daily suspensions? I didn't even know they did that. But anyway, there was a little bit of complaint about after they had took down one account from a specific reporter. That they weren't doing equal takedowns for terrorism. So I guess maybe it's a little bit of response to it. Hey, do you shop at Best Buy? I'll be honest with you. I have probably not purchased anything from Best Buy in, wow, more than a year. I'll be honest. I've been Amazon Prime. I'm an addict. But Best Buy kicks off its 50th birthday with 50 deals for 50 hours. So starting right now, from 11 p.m. Eastern Thursday to 12:59 a.m. Eastern on Sunday, they're going to have deals on MacBooks, on 65-inch TVs, on headphones. They've got discounts on iPhones. They've got Garmin all kinds of stuff, PlayStation, gift cards. So anyway, lots of deals. Definitely check it out. May give you an opportunity to catch something cool over there. All right, remember the copyright win on the song Happy Birthday to You? Well, a judge has granted the Happy Birthday lawyers, in other words, they won, so that the Happy Birthday song is now in the public domain. Before, I would have had to have just paid for the opportunity to sing to you, but judges granted the Happy Birthday lawyers $4.6 million, citing unusual positive results. And I will say, those lawyers did a three-year battle, and I know that there was a, you know, plaintiff in this deal, but I think that these folks that are you know, trying to lock up music for infinity, it serves them right. So $4.6 million was it's actually a total of $14 million settlement, but out of it, the lawyers are getting $4.6 million. And it's probably the first time I said, good job, the lawyers. Don't you love lawyers when they win one for the team, but then you hate lawyers when they're like for a patent troll or something like that? It's just like loved one minute, hated the next. But that's the nature of the legal profession, I think. Hey, HipChat has beat Slack to the punch with group video calling. So up to 10 people can quickly spin up a face-to-face conversation using the chat service. So that's very cool. Congratulations to HipChat. You know, we use Raw Voice uses a lot of that company's software for software management. So very, very familiar with that team. Of course, we've had HipChat here once before as a sponsor. But since then, I've been a hardcore Slack user. Slack is saying video is coming. Hey, Uber's first self-driving car will start picking up passengers this month. This is kind of interesting. So the company openly admitted it was testing cars in Pittsburgh. And so what they're going to do is that they're going to have a small fleet of self-driving cars with active drivers that they're going to start picking people up. So you may get picked up by an Uber in Pittsburgh, and the driver may be with the hands off the wheels getting you delivered. So you can blame the driving on the computer. So this is interesting. They're going to introduce it with customers already. Be very, very interesting to watch. Okay, last few articles tonight. Where are we at on time? Well, we're doing good. This is just amazing. Those of you in the UK, it's not a UFO. And you're not seeing a butt in the air. Yes, you know what a butt looks like, right? We all have one. A derriere, the rear extremity. Well, a giant butt-shaped airship has made its debut flight. And this was a project, I believe, of the U.S. military, but I think it was the tech was sold to the U.K. The Airbus, but this is 92 meters. Oh, this stupid thing is start. I hate, you know, CNET. They're the worst for autoplaying videos. There's this function you can, on their website, you can say autoplay off. And it's supposed to remember not to autoplay videos. But I can open up or close this browser, and then I better get off this page or I'll get a video takedown notice. Yes, it's that crazy that the videos start playing automatically. And it's just like, it's like podcasters that autoplay their audio files. It's just rude. And they don't even obey their own settings for autoplay. But anyway, the Airlander 10 is designed up to fly for 5 days at a time. And so UK company Hybrid Air Vehicle stepped in and brought it to Britain. Again, we'll see. It's going to be used to deliver aid and probably sold to the government to do collections against citizens, I would think. So we'll see where this leads. All right. I actually had 3 browser windows open for Gawker. I don't know why. Hey, Alexa, if you have one in the home, Alexa can now find your phone with Tracker. So, you know, if you're like me, you ever walked around your house looking for a missing item, like your keys, wallet, or your phone, you can ask Alexa, and Alexa will actually, working with a Tracker app, will help the users locate their missing phones. It'll call out. You know, what the mistake we make is like me, I turn my ringer off all the time. So when I lose my phone, I can't call it from another phone because all it does is, you know, it buzzes. So we've all done this, right? You've called your phone from another phone, and you've screamed at everyone to be quiet because you wanted to listen for the buzz. And ladies, I know you're the most guilty. It's usually at the bottom of your handbag while we're in the car trying to leave. Like, did I leave my phone in the house? And you're scrunching through your handbag, and you know, you tell your husband, call my phone. And, you know, we roll our eyes because we know what's going to happen. We dial, and then we hear the, you know, coming from the bottom of the handbag that has, you know, 500 items in it. But Alexa can now help us absent-minded men, because we're the ones that always lose the phones in our house, right? Help us find our phones. Calls out, here I am, here I am. Oh, gosh. And final article tonight, Uber $100 million settlement with drivers has been rejected by a judge. So they got to go back to the drawing table and come up with some more cash. All right, we did get a few emails in. And let me see here. Today's date is the 18th. The last show was on the 15th. So that means any new emails. All right, you got an email from Mike. He says, something for the show, and he gives me an expletive. And let me read this to you. Hi, I'm Leon, the COO of Vively Labs, V-Y-L-Y Labs, and I want to share some exciting news about our new wearable tech product. It's the world's first pelvic floor strengthening shorts for men. It enables guys to play apps using their own beep We have completed 45% of the crowdfunding goal on Indiegogo now. Our product works with a patent wireless sensor that detects movement of the pelvic floor and feeds back information to the customizable coaching app on the user's smartphone. The visuals on the game turn a potential boring action into a challenging game. The sensor has a magnetic locking strip to embed it into the shorts and capture any contraction of the muscles. This video shows the evolution of our sensor design, and this video gives you more information about Vividly. We have a high resolution images for you to download here. I'm happy to talk to you more about the technology behind this product and our vision for it. Now, if that wasn't a very leading introduction to a product that make you go, what? So, I know that, what is it called? Kegels? Ladies, you're going to have to help me out. Is it Kegels? Is that you can practice doing Kegels just sitting where you are? Guys, they have this product now for us to strengthen our pelvic floor. Okay. Moving on. Got an email from Jack. Todd. This is a TriCaster Jack, or Jack the retired American Airlines pilot. Jack, I'm hearing a lot of bad things since the merger of American, and they've got some friends that fly American and they are not happy. I hope your stock is still good, okay? Anyway, Todd, I want to comment on a couple of articles you had on the last show, number 1137. I was amused at the chemtrails article you mentioned. I started flying in 1973, just a bit before the chemtrail conspiracy started. My first assignment was to single-seat fighters, and one of the first things a new wingman learned to do was call out to lead when the flight got into air cold enough for the hot jet engine exhaust, where it would heat the outside air enough to leave a visible condensation trail, also known as a contrail. The contrail would be visible from the ground and allow ground forces to easily target the flight. Staying below the altitude where contrails were visible was critical to survival of the flight in hostile territory. On a side note, speaking of chemicals, a couple of times I had to return to land and needed to dump fuel. The thousands of pounds of fuel I dumped was dispersed and evaporated within 100 yards after leaving the airplane. If anybody wanted to put chemicals in the air, I can guarantee nobody would see any trails. And just, Jack's got some more on this. Let me add to that. I've been on P3s before where we've took off with a full bag of fuel. And we had to, you know, basically the tank 5 and a P3, you couldn't dump. You can only dump tanks 1 through 4. And we would dump, you get into trouble and you have to dump fuel and get below a weight that's, you know, permissible to land. And you think about JP5 weighing, I think, 6.9 pounds per gallon. We would literally dump probably 25,000 pounds of jet fuel over, and we just, you know, be high, have to be above a certain altitude, turn on the fuel dump switch, and it just comes in, and they run it through. When it comes out, it doesn't come out in a straight hose. They actually have a mesh filter that it runs through, and it as Jack says, it helps the disbursement. But yes, I have dumped tens of thousands, probably over the lifetime of flying P3s, probably hundreds of thousands of pounds of fuel. You know, and you think about each gallon going out, how much that costs, that hurts. But I don't ever remember, you know, it did. It just a big spray and dispersed. But that was the equivalent, I guess, of a chemical chemtrail. But you couldn't see that from the ground. Anyway, he goes on to say, your discussion of the drone pilots having other civilian options is not correct. Commercial drone pilots and commercial pilots are 2 certificates, and the time flying a drone does not transfer to a pilot license, nor does a pilot flying time transfer count towards a drone pilot certificate. In addition to that, there is a practical test for each license. In other words, 1,000 hours of drone time does not prepare you to take a private pilot's examination. I bet you it gives you an advantage, though. And if it did, I can't imagine anybody would do very well. So drone pilots leaving the military would still have to take ground and flight school in time and then apply for an FAA examination flight. The FAA upped the requirements for commercial pilot certificate from 200 to 1,500 hours. This is one of the reasons there's a pilot shortage now, which is only going to get worse. I mentioned this, though, so aspiring drone pilots won't be thinking they fly military drones for a few years and walk out and fly as commercial pilots. They can still happen, but they will have to start all over getting the flying time. I think most of the, and maybe some Air Force person can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking most Air Force drone pilots do go to traditional flight school. That was my understanding. And Jack, maybe you could check into it and see if they actually do or do not. So, you know, maybe they have the fundamentals, but obviously it's a little different, you know, flying something that's strapped to your ass versus sitting in a chair, right? That's what it really boils down to. The fundamentals are still there. But speed and everything else is much, much different. Drones fly slow, jets fly fast, and you have to stay ahead of the airplane. All right, I think that's it. That's all we got for tonight. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Think about becoming an insider, supporting the show. Geeknewscentral.com/insider is the page. And we've got a lot of people progressing towards some cool awards for the as part of the Insider program. So definitely check that out as well. And we want to thank all of you that are supporting us with cash contributions. I am greatly appreciated for your ongoing support. Value for value here. I hope that I'm continuing to provide value and information for you. And I still love doing the show for you. And definitely want to thank our sponsor, GoDaddy, as well, for continuing to make it happen here. And it's been my pleasure bringing you a show today. We'll be back with you on Monday for another edition of the Geekness Central podcast. All of you on the live stream that hung out, thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging and through the late evening hours. And for those of you that catch it later on demand, the 99.9999% of you do that. Thanks for listening as well and staying subscribed. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Central podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.